Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. He is, in fact, our friend. Amen. Song say, heal my body. Yeah. Told me to run on. Heal my body. Told me to run on. He healed my body. Told me to run on. He's my friend. He's my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. It's worth the praise, isn't it, church? It's worth the praise when you know that God is our help in any time of trouble, and Jesus is our friend. He promised to walk with you, talk with you, tell you, assure you that you're his own, and he offers himself to never leave you, neither forsake you. Isn't that good news, church? Come on now, come on, church. Isn't that good news? That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his church that she was his bride, and he promised to never leave her, neither to forsake her. Always be with her, to protect her and to provide for her. That's one of the benefits. That's one of the things that we have in our inheritance package, because of our relationship with Jesus, the one who offered himself as a sacrifice, so that we might have a right to the tree of life. Wow, I said a whole lot in that. And I pray that this morning we can sum it all up in our time with you today. We have an awesome opportunity today, as well as an awesome responsibility in this day, and all of us are included. Amen, lights. Amen. It's about time now that we get it to the reality that we are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what? Do we just sit among the pews and enjoy our joy? Enjoy our love relationship with God? Enjoy our peace? Enjoy our patience that we've acquired? Enjoy all of those things that we've been given by way of the Holy Spirit seal? But to whom God has given much, much is also required. How many of you get that this morning? How many of you believe that this morning? That you already have. Now what? That he has given you everything that you would ever possibly need on this side of the earth, and even on the other side. Now, what? How do I move forward in it? How do I appropriate what God has done for me? How do I even understand what God has done for me? I hear the cliche all the time, you're blessed to be a blessing. And I believe in our Sunday school lesson this morning, it taught us that you are blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Hello, lights. You already have what you need in order that you might become who you have been saved for the healings of our nation. I want you to get it this morning, because we realize that time keep on slipping. Y'all know that song, don't you? Into the future. And Greg, we are the future. We are the future. And we have a responsibility for the future of others. So I want you to hear me again with that right perspective this morning as we talk about the markings of the blessed life. I'm assuming by now y'all get it and you understand that you have already everything you need. Scripture in Ephesians is clear on letting us in on where we are in this life that we call the blessed life. You already have it. Say, affirm in your own spirit, I'm already blessed. I am already blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm already blessed. You see one of the challenges that we have is that we want to claim the truths of the Bible, but in many instances, how your perspective and your experiences are, they dictate how you interpret the Bible for yourself. Something blew up in your life, all of a sudden you feel accursed, when in reality, you are still blessed. Y'all don't hear me. You are still blessed. But you have to learn how to position yourself in order to operate in that blessing. That scripture popped up in my mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I think it's going to take a lot of us to understand that we have certain mindsets that has been developed for us to operate on this journey, but we've got to learn to transfer into the reality of the mind that is in Christ. I heard a lot of yeses, but I heard fewer yeses than bodies in the house. So it lets me know that a lot of people are living in their past life rather than living in the here and the now. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. Y'all got y'all ears on this morning? The here and the now says that you are blessed. What say ye about yourself? What do you say? Do you let circumstances determine whether or not you're going to be in the blessed atmosphere of being alive and well, or do you just allow what's going on around you to dictate to you how you gonna roll today? We get up in every morning and say, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you say that? How many of you declare on your own life that morning by morning, new mercies I'm able to see? But yet by 12 o'clock, yet by 9 o'clock, just right after breakfast, all hell is breaking loose out there in the world, and you find yourself looking through the lenses of hell and all of its curses rather than looking through the perspectives that God has given you. The new perspective to see life as life really is. I'm trying to take you somewhere, church. I'm trying to take you to another level of your blessed life. I'm trying to let you see that even in the midst of darkness, you're still a blessed child of God. I'm already in my sermon, y'all, so let me let these urchins sit down. Let me read for you something I've been reading to you since the first of the year. And I'm just going to read one verse out of the 14 verses that we've been talking through this year. Verse 13, listen, it says, in him, Jesus Christ, also realizing there is so much more you have gained in this inheritance, but he just pulls out a bit of it here. He says, in him you also. So when I think about also, I think about other blessings. And we've been trying to share those things with you along the way. He said, when you have had heard the word of truth. How many of you have heard truth but didn't know what to do with it? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him. How many believers do I have in here? You know, you know what you believe in. You know that you believe in the word of truth, and you know that you believe in the gospel of our salvation, that he died for my sins. He rose again. Now he's sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us. Us ward, meaning us going forward. Us on this journey of life. Us ward. Scripture says, we were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. I'm trying to tell you something, church, that you got all the markings of the blessed life. If you've heard the truth and you are saved and you have believed in him that is the way, is the truth, and is the life, if you've believed in him and have claimed your salvation in him, you have acquired the markings of the blessed life. I didn't say cursed life. I said blessed life. So we want to talk this morning about the markings of this blessed life. Amen. Thank you, Urshas. The markings of this blessed life. Say that with me. The markings of this blessed life. I want you to know off the top that you were blessed by God for a purpose. When Jesus told us in his teachings, he was saying to you, go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them what? The truth, blessing them with salvation, and also enabling them to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. From that beginning, he was telling the disciples and letting them know that you have a purpose in life. You have a marking on you that is of a blessed life. And I want you to spread the wealth. I want you to understand that you're blessed so that you can be a blessing for others. That Revelations 22 kind of summed it up this morning when he talked about that you are healing for the nations. How many of y'all got that this morning in your Sunday school classes? Blessed to promote healing to the nation. And this healing comes in the name of Jesus and for the glory of our God. And I know all of us look at our nation and we wonder what the heck is going on. When you see all of this turmoil that is taking place right before our very eyes, things that we never would have thought would be happening in this day and time, as blessed as our society is, there's a real focus on the cursedness of what's really going on. Evil is prevailing in all sorts of ways. How many of you woke up this morning and the TV flashed? First thing on the TV was a flash of cursed shootings taking place in the clubs. How many of you saw where there are things that are happening out of the normalcy of what we would think a blessed life looks like? You can't even drive along the road without being mindful of how a person might perceive you and your concern about them getting too close for comfort. You got to almost ride down the street as if you had no peripheral vision at all. You got to keep looking straight, because if you look at somebody sideways, they could go off. All this tells me is that there is truly a need for healing in our nations. There is truly healing needed, even not just in the nations abroad, not just over there where the fighting might be going on, but even right here in our society, conflicts are rising everywhere. Conflict breaks out in just a home, a situation where a family is all around, and then all of a sudden a fight breaks out. And the next thing you're doing is gathering up to go to a funeral. So much pain, however, that is in the world, y'all. So much pain that is in the world that it is culminating into what happens when people are riding the emotion of pain. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The objective of God is that you are blessed. You who have gained an understanding, heard the truth, and heard and know that you're saved, and you believe in Jesus Christ, and you've been marked with a blessed life so that you can be a blessing to those that are not yet there. It's amazing how many folks you take a poll and you find out how many folks say they saved, but you look at their lives and you wonder about their salvation. You wonder about why are they so jealous? Why are they so angry? Why is so much backbiting coming from them? Why is there so much lack of patience? Why they look so grim and glum and mad? You wonder with so much reality in the light of what God has given to us, why isn't there enough folk who say they're saved, who operate in the principles of salvations, who believe that God is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Why are they so unhappy? Why don't they show signs? Why aren't they operating in their markings? I said to you, you have been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now I say to you, you must learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, not what? In the flesh. It says, this is the command of the Lord. This is a command. This is what God says he wants you to do. And I know y'all, in the midst of all of what we encounter, COVID-19 pandemic, that hardship came upon us, and it impacted everybody's mental and emotional well-being, and some people are still being impacted. But in reality, we're going where we want to go when we want to go. We're being where we want to be when we want to be there. Oh, come on now, tell the truth, shame the devil. We're going to figure out how we're going to get where we want to be. We're going to go wherever we want to go and take the necessary precautions, but we gonna be there. I'm looking at it, y'all. The baseball games are filling up. The stands are being filled up again. For the football season. I'm watching it, y'all. I'm watching UIL participation become even greater again, but I'm seeing also the church. Dwindling in its size. And the main one we using these days, y'all, is that pandemic. That pandemic is still out there. That COVID-19 is still out there, y'all. And y'all better be careful going around them church folk. Y'all better be careful. And the interesting thing, y'all, is coming from church folk. They talking it. They talking it. Y'all better be careful, but not realizing, and it's not to take any of this business lightly. I understand the mental impact. I understand the emotional well-being that we are concerned about, but not to the degree that it curses me in my blessed life. Comes to grief, it comes to loss, when it comes to pain. The world needs now healing words. Words that's going to get them through these difficult times, these difficult days, whether there's illness, whether there's broken heart, whether there's grief, we must realize that we are the motivators that help to begin the healing process. Somebody need to hear that you're too blessed to be stressed. Rather than you take on that mindset of their stress and, child, I know what you mean. I've been doing this and this and this and this. Rather than saying to them that they got something to be thankful for, that they are blessed to be a blessing, because all of us are blessed to be a blessing. Sometimes just saying a word of scripture in their hearing can serve as a powerful reminder that you are more than capable of doing some of the hard things that have come into your life. In other words, you're operating out of a mentality of a blessed life rather than a cursed life. And these hard things become molehills. Used to look like a mountain. Somebody spoke a word in your behalf, and all of a sudden that mountain that you were looking at became a what? A molehill. See, when we talk about healing of the nations, we are talking about helping people to experience some fruit that's going to see them through whatever they are going through. Not somebody to just sit there and agree with them in their toil and their strife, but understand where they are, of course, but make sure you don't leave them there. That you let them know that we serve a God who is always there to help lift you up. Whether or what you are going through. See, I'm trying to get y'all in the position to where we can be a blessing rather than live as if we are still cursed. God's servants, this is what the scripture said, and that's why I can't get past Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14, because it's so much in there. God's servants, they received his seal, the promised Holy Spirit, as evidence that they belong to him. And here's the deal, y'all. With expectations, this is God, that his servants will bring healing to the world. You look at your life this past week. How much healing did you bring? What kind of low-hanging fruit came from your tree? Uh-oh, preacher, you out there now, huh? Yeah, I can't help but see that tree that the psalmist was talking about in this lesson when John was reading his passage in Revelations chapter 22, and y'all can go back and read that thing and meditate on it, but he was talking about a tree. And I envision that tree to be like that tree that the psalmist talked about in Psalms 1 when he talked about believers. He said, believers gonna be like a what? Like a tree where? Planted where? By the rivers of waters that what? Yield fruit in due season. Where you been hanging out? Have you been hanging out by the river of water that yield the appropriate fruit in the appropriate seasons of your life? See, some folk don't get this. But you see, you gotta understand how all of this connect. And all of it connects in Revelations where he says you're gonna be healing for the nation. And I want you to understand that God wants you first to appropriate its truth and live in the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus so that the world in which we live can benefit. Look at some of these young people in this day and time. They look like they're mad at the world. And I wonder what in the direction that we are going as church. I wonder sometimes, are we making our contributions to bringing some joy, some peace, some love in their lives? Or are we just bringing on judgment? All we got in our mind is, you're going to go to hell, boy. You're going to go to hell, girl. You're going to go, you're going to become a misfit out there. You're not going to be successful. You're going to be a failure. You hear all of those kinds of things. But how often do we hear words that's going to encourage them? And I'm coming by to tell you, not encourage them in the way that they're going, but what we have as blessors is a word that will cause them to be encouraged to taste and see that there's another life, there's another way, that there is a man named Jesus who hung, bled, died for all of our sins, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Because early one morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for you so that you can be a blessed life, blessing others. So that in the light of your being born again, born of the Spirit of God, you got a new spirit on the inside of you that has been nurtured in the right things, has been nurtured because you've been sitting by the river of righteousness and it's been pouring into your veins and you now have fruit available for any season that might occur to you as well as others. They see you, they saw you, and they saw how well you went through what you went through, And now they can't see nothing but fruit dangling off of you. And when they go through their challenges of life, they look for that tree that will provide the fruit that they're going to need. And it's going to look so good to them, y'all. They're going to say, ooh-wee, I want a fruit from that tree. Now, you got to be careful, because some people get so highfalutin and they keep their fruit up high and lift it up to the point that can't nobody get to their fruit. But that low-hanging fruit, that boy see that fruit, and he's going through some challenges in his own personal life, and he can't find no joy, but he tasted your fruit. And all of a sudden, he found joy. And now he's running around saying, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. They look around and they see a love that is there, and they might have a broken heart, and all of a sudden they saw someone and how they handled their broken heart with the reality of what they were going through, their own brokenness, and all of a sudden they saw a dangling tree who's founded in Christ Jesus. They found a dangling tree whose feet are anchored in the Lord. Ain't going nowhere. Who's steadfast, who is unmovable, who's always abounding in the ways of the Lord. They saw fruit, and they saw it dangling. They saw it available. And they went in and tasted. And all of a sudden, life ain't been the same. Y'all, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to close. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to say to you, the Spirit makes the difference. Whew. The Spirit makes the difference. And God has given us fruit to be dangled. Y'all know what you do, what happens to fruit that's on the tree? Y'all remember that guy who when we was growing up, he the only guy in the neighborhood that had a fruit tree. Mean as hell. But you're the only one got a fruit tree. You don't even like, come on now, you don't even like pears, peaches. You don't even like them no more. You had so many, you don't even care for them. And you won't even give me none. You won't even let me have none. Yeah, you go across that fence and get it, you're going to get something else. Church, it's going to rot. It's going to rot if you don't give it away. If you're holding on to it for yourself, it's going to rot if you don't give it away. It's for the healing of the nation. And you got to let it go. And when you let it go, God's going to produce more fruit so that you can continue to bear fruit for healing of the nation. How many of you know somebody that needed the very fruit that you got? You went through it. Come on, y'all. Some things you go through so that you can have a testimony, so that you can be a witness, so that somebody can taste the fruit of your experience. And everybody need a little fruit sometime. Somebody you're going to run into this week going to need a little pepping up. Are you going to ride them out in the cursed language, the cursed perspective, or are you going to say to them, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. God has a special fruit for every healing on this journey of life. God wants God's people, trees planted by the river of water, that to yield their fruit in the right season. God wants each individual believer to represent him by being a tree planted by the river of water, yielding fruit. Trees of righteousness planted in the right places. Trees of righteousness yielding their fruit in the right season. Evidence of trees bearing individuals living through horrors of their own life that once seemed impossible. In the middle of this pain, God is using everyday people in extraordinary ways. Y'all don't hear me today. My pain has proven to be for somebody else. Your pain, your agony, your distress proves to be for somebody else. Don't be so mean and keep your experiences from somebody else. Tell them how I got over. Tell them I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind. I really didn't see why I was going through what I was going through. I was blind, but now I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Now I'm ready to serve, ready for service. Ready to serve the nations. Ready to be healing for the nation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let the church say amen.